Coming up on today's show, we are talking about the latest news, rumors, and my upcoming trip to Disneyland. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. This is episode 413. I am Jason, and I am your host this week. I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody?
It's John.
Here we go.
Off to Traveling with the Mouse Land?
Yeah.
I don't know. Off to Disneyland.
Yeah. We have a really great show, I think. We're going to talk about all of the latest news, and I am back. We have a trip, too, that I am going to preview, which is going to be really exciting. So hold on to your butts, folks.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts.
Like I said, that's the wrong theme park.
Oh, right. My bad.
Well, I guess we'll talk a little bit about the news before we jump into the trip report. Before the show, Adam and I were discussing this, John, before you hopped in, and I thought we'd bring it up in the show. One of the recent things that came up as I'm heading out to Disneyland, I'm researching all the things that I can get, and they just released this awesome railroad train engine popcorn bucket that is available. Have you seen this, John?
No, I have not. Have you heard about this?
It has a light that comes on. It has a train whistle. It is $32, I think. $32.25, and it looks like it holds about 5 kernels of popcorn.
If that, you might could get a box of Cracker Jack's worth of popcorn.
It's like all the bells and whistles and no ring.
Yeah, it looks like it's served with an actual thing of popcorn with it. So they give you the popcorn bucket and then a full popcorn because they're like, we can't fit this much popcorn in the bucket. So,
right. I say you spend so much time focusing on design, you didn't worry about the efficiency of the design.
Right.
I gotcha.
It looks cool, though. It's the train engine, Mickey's head sticking out, like that picture of Walt, you know, with the weird-looking Mickey plush he's holding.
So how many times do you have to pour the popcorn bag into the...
You just have to carry around the popcorn.
It's like both your hands are going to be busy.
And yeah. Yeah, the train engine part is the only part that actually holds popcorn. It's like a 3x3... box, maybe.
So should I get one?
You should definitely get one. This is a collector's item.
Adam's saying that because he's not spending any money on it. He's like, sure, yeah. You should definitely get one.
I mean, if I was out there, I would probably get one just because it's a cool collector's item. I wouldn't put popcorn in it. I would just hold on to it.
It's just for looks.
Yeah. It actually looks really cool, but... $32.
Well, I have the Guardians Skyliner bucket, right? Okay. So I should take that out there and just let them know that we have better transportation at Disney World than they do.
They need to put a version of the Skyliner in Disneyland. Not that they need it. Because it would
be a very short trip from DCA to Disneyland, like a 2-second ride.
No, they install it over in Toontown and let you ride it over to Cars Land. So, you know, it's a little bit longer ride.
Honestly, that's like the new Sky Buckets because obviously liability is probably one of the reasons why they had to shut it down because people would like spit on guests or throw stuff at them.
I can't remember what the official reason given was.
Nowadays it would be crazy.
Maybe.
But enclosing them is the way to do it. So if you built a Skyliner.
But it was only like 2, maybe 3 years ago that they... Or maybe it was COVID era, whenever they took that the version of the Sky Buckets or whatever that they had at Six Flags out. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
They had a version of it.
Right. San Diego Zoo had one that's open air like that. And I'm like, they're just asking for trouble with people throwing stuff out of it. But
by the way, that you mentioned Six Flags. I should mention I did go to Six Flags over Georgia recently with my son. I went back. Or got another season's pass.
Yeah.
It was, let me just go through the economics of the Six Flags over Georgia season's pass. I could have attended for a day for $45 a person.
Yeah.
I could have gotten a season's pass for $75 a person, and it includes parking, of which parking at Six Flags Over Georgia cost $30.
Yeah. So you would have spent $5 more.
Anyways, when we got there, the thing that I noticed is all of that's cheaper, but the food, like the water bottles, everything is more expensive there than at Disney. All of it. And it's worse by far.
You're not even allowed to bring anything in either.
No.
You're not even allowed to bring one bottle of water in.
Whereas Disney, you can bring a picnic lunch.
Yeah.
They repainted their Monster Mansion since the last time we wrote it. So
2 months ago.
Anyways, there's another interesting story that I wanted to bring up this week. Did you guys notice that the DeSantis board, I mean, Central Florida Tourism Oversight District Board of Supervisors was voting for property tax cuts, which would actually lower the property taxes on Disney itself, which was interesting.
Yes, that was interesting.
You think they're doing this so that when Disney ultimately wins this lawsuit, that they're going to be like, oh, Disney's trying to overturn all the good stuff we did. See how bad they are, you know, because it'll go back to the way it was or something.
I think you're overthinking that one.
So why else would they do this? Because they care so much about the people? Like, really?
Well, are they all citizens of the district?
Are they benefiting from this?
I think they are. I mean, didn't they, like, draw the line so that the council members were in the district just technically or something like that? Like, they have to live there, don't they?
I don't know. They can make the rules now.
I don't know if about it other than I saw that the amount, the proposed mileage rate is 12.95 mils, which is a drop from this year's rate of 13.9. So
I feel like they're either doing this for the press of like, hey, see, we're not trying to make Disney do what we want. We're trying to be nice and do good stuff.
Right.
That's what I think they're doing.
Well, surprising.
I have no idea.
I don't think it's surprising. To me, it's not.
To you, it's not surprising?
No, because I think they're trying to do stuff like, we're not trying to build a prison. We're doing all this good stuff.
I try not to read too much into anything anymore, so I'll just say it is what it is for now.
Right. This is not really anything to think about yet.
It could be a chess move.
I think it is.
Could just be made good sense. Who knows? If it lowers it on everybody, like you said, it includes Disney. So what will Disney do in turn? I don't know.
Pay less taxes?
Right. Which I think what was it saying? Something about like they didn't pay enough. Wasn't that what DeSantis originally said or something like that?
Right. They'll pay their fair share.
Yeah.
Which is funny to hear a Republican say pay their fair share. But anyway, that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Those words are usually not their vernacular.
Correct.
Vernacular.
Another big article that came out, another big news story. Let's stick at Disneyland, since that's where we're going to talk about me going. Their Fantasmic has been closed, as we know, because Maleficent burned herself down. And
to the ground.
And they're going to bring it back, but not until spring of 2024, and they are not going to bring the dragon back.
It takes a long time to recreate a dragon. I mean,
yeah.
They said they're going to reimagine the show somewhat, or the ending.
So it means there's no dragon, probably.
It'll be something different. Who knows?
I think he'll battle a screen dragon.
Could be.
A gigantic screen that's not, they're not even going to try to hide. Is that what you're
saying? It's just going to be a giant barge out there all day.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. That's what they did with the Harmonious barges. They're going to move it all the way to California.
There you go. It's like, we have all this equipment that we got to make use of.
But it can squirt water out from every direction.
Yep.
It'll be cool. Giant LED screen and then arms that open up with water squirting out everywhere. It's going to be awesome.
You think, don't they have to reuse that technology in some way, shape, or form? I mean, it was pretty neat, let's be honest. It was pretty neat technology. It was just an eyesore during the day. But
it was neat from one angle.
Yeah, well, no, but just the fact that they, you know, some of the stuff they're doing, you know, that can't, obviously we know it wasn't cheap, but I mean, surely you got to do something with it, right? You got to try to utilize in some way.
Word.
Yep.
So
I don't know. I guess I won't see Fantasmic while I'm there.
Well, if you had your hopes on that one, then yeah. Well.
Speaking of, you mentioned earlier, there's a few other things that won't be open.
Correct.
Really?
Which is kind of sad.
The one I'm probably the most sad about is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is under refurbishment.
Oh, man.
Boo. My favorite growing up at Disney World.
Yeah.
Not available for riding. Also, the Disneyland monorail is under refurbishment.
That sucks. Man, that's two major ones right there.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get to experience the ride that lands you in hell.
Correct. Is that the monorail or Mr. Toad's?
It depends on point of view, perception.
Yeah. I mean, you can scrape some trees on the monorail. It's kind of funny to see.
I mean,
how close
I guess
you
it's. I should be very happy that I booked the hotel I did and didn't decide to spend $700 a night to stay at the Disneyland hotel and then not even have the monorail to ride it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best. Well, not the best thing about it, but that's the cool thing about it.
Yep. I really want to stay there, though. I mean, at least once.
Yeah.
What would be, if you got one stay at the nice hotels, would you pick Grand Californian or Disneyland Hotel? Which would you pick? We all know nobody's going to pick Paradise Pier or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Two.
Well, here would be the dilemma. If I'm paying cash, I'm probably choosing the Disneyland Hotel just because of the nostalgia, but you could probably rent points at California Adventure for less. You know what I mean?
Well, they're going to have they're going to have points at Disneyland Hotel now.
They're building that tower, or they remodeling
the
tower.
They don't have it yet, though.
It opens in like a month.
Oh, okay. Well, then that might be an option.
Yeah. Because when I looked at it, like, okay, cash price, Disneyland Hotel was about $700 a night, and cash price for the Grand California was like $820 a night. So it's more, but it's not that much more. If you're going to the $700 land, you know, what's the difference?
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
seven like, and eight.
What's another $100?
You're joining the 700 Club. Oh, wait.
Yeah,
the 700 Club. That's funny. I'd pick Disneyland Hotel.
But if you were to rent points from, like, say, even Dave's, it would be significantly less, even at California. I mean, at the Grand
Californian.
Why don't
we pull up the DVC points chart? Well, I mean, they usually charge the same amount per points. So let's look at the points charts and see who's charging more points for a room.
Does Grand California have balconies, though?
I think so. This doesn't?
Disneyland does not have balconies. Disneyland Hotel does not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the Grand Californian has some, I thought.
Yeah.
I could have sworn I'd see them.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be one factor. I'd love a good balcony. If you had a theme park view.
And the other thing about the Californian is you have the option of walking straight out into California Adventure if you wanted to.
Right. And I feel like I'm going to go explore the Grand Californian while I'm there. Like, I should just go over it. Check it out for a little bit, right?
I remember walking through the lobby. It was amazing to me how much it looked like Wilderness Lodge.
Is it?
Okay, so a deluxe studio. Let's compare deluxe studios only, because apparently they have two-person duo studios at Disneyland Hotel that you can get. So we'll pick, I'm going to be going in July-ish. I guess I should go to 2024 then, because they don't have, or we can pick something into the year. So let's pick. Let's say we were to go at Christmas this year.
Okay.
Okay, so a deluxe studio for the weekly rate for a standard deluxe studio at Disneyland Hotel is 202 points at Christmas, so the peak season. The same for Christmas at a deluxe studio at Grand Californian, which doesn't have a distinction between standard and preferred, is 224 points a night. So it's about the same for the preferred deluxe studio. 223 points at Disneyland Hotel for a preferred studio that week for a weekly rate. 224 points at Grand Californian. So they're pretty comparable, it looks to be.
Yeah.
On
DVC.
The one-bedroom villas look to be more at Grand Californian, though. So it looks like outside of the studio, it gets cheaper on the Disneyland Hotel for the big rooms. like a 3-bedroom grand villa for a week at Christmas at Disneyland Hotel, 1250 points.
Really?
At Grand Californian, 1358 points.
So it's kind of like the difference between Grand Floridian and Polynesian, really.
Yeah, I mean, Poly's actually only has studios in the bungalows, so it's hard to say. Right. But I would say it's kind of like Grand Californian and Riviera almost, because Riviera is like one of the most expensive points-wise of any of the resorts they've got.
Well, that's the latest one.
Yeah.
And I guess Poly will be next, or is there one in between that I'm missing?
Yeah. I guess Poly would be next, yeah. I think if I was to pick, though, based on what y'all asked, I think I would go with what you said. If I was going to pay the cash or use the points, I think Disneyland Hotel would be my preference. I'll say what I think after I go visit. I do think Grand Californian Hotel has got that luxury and view, but I feel like just looking at the slides and the pools and the monorail pool and all of that, it looked really cool.
Trader Sam's.
Yeah. To me, the Disneyland Hotel is like a bucket list item, really, just because it's the original.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not exactly the original, but it's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah.
So,
and you can take kids into Trader Sam's during the day at Disneyland.
You've researched this.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 7 o'clock or something. It switches to adults only, something like that.
Are you still eating at Goofy's Kitchen, Jason?
I canceled Goofy's Kitchen. So, we'll just sprinkle in the trip report in the middle because I think this is fine. Let's talk about what I've got planned a little bit before we get back to the...
Your preview, not report.
My preview. My preview. So, here's what I've got planned. I am flying out on Saturday, the Saturday before this is released. So, by the time this comes out, probably on Monday, right, Adam? I will be at Disneyland.
Yep.
I arrive at Orange County Airport probably around 11 a.m. ish. So, and I'm staying at the Courtyard Marriott Anaheim Theme Park Entrance. That's what it's called. It's a relatively newish hotel. It is across the street on, I guess that would be the east side of Disneyland. So, it would be just
the monorail side.
Yeah. It apparently is walkable. So that's why I booked it. It's got a little water park in there. So that's why it's called Theme Park Entrance. And I paid a premium for that. And because I just didn't want to deal with buses or anything. I thought that was the next best thing to being at like a Disneyland hotel.
It is. How much was it per night to get this one?
I bought a package. So
Okay.
Yeah. Because I bought it through the Disneyland website. So I was able to bundle it with tickets. Yeah, bundle it with tickets. I already have prepaid for Genie Plus, so it's already bundled in. It's me and my son going, and it's 4 nights, 4-day park hopper tickets with Genie Plus included, and I think we spent something on the order of like $2,800 for that package.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
So what do I have booked? Right now, I may or may not eat at these places, but since I don't go to Disneyland very often, I probably will do more sit-downs than I would at, say, Disney World. That first night, I have Cafe Orleans dinner in New Orleans Square, which I guess, is this the one that's going to go to Tiana's, or is there a different one that's going to become Tiana's
Palace? I think it's a different one, because aren't they already, like, they're, like, closer to finishing that one, I thought.
Yeah.
I think it's already under
construction. So Cafe Orleans will stay, so I'll get me some New Orleans and some beignets and all of that. On my second day, on Sunday, the only thing I have booked is a lunch at Wine Country Trattoria in Disney's California. Sure. So we'll see how that goes.
Yep.
On Monday, I am doing the Walt's Main Street Story Tour and then eating lunch at Carnation Cafe on Main Street.
That's nice.
And then Tuesday, I was able to pick this up. I'm having dinner at Carthay Circle.
Yeah, I've always heard good things about it. And I assume at some point you're going to try to catch Lamplight Lounge over there.
If possible. I mean, I am probably going to be attraction focused. My son was with me. He's 8. He's not going to want to just sit at lounges all day.
Of course, yeah. Got to balance that. This is his first time, correct?
his first time, and as you know, I've only been for like a half day that one time when I live recorded an episode with y'all as I walked around.
That's true.
Oh, I thought you had done another trip. Okay.
Nope. This whole, I drove up there around lunchtime when I was out in San Diego for a conference, and then
that's
essentially
right.
A half a day. I got a lot of the highlights in, so I at least know my way around the park for the most part. I know how it's laid out.
That's right. That's that time you single-handedly brought on COVID. That's right.
Yeah, that was like January 2020.
No. It was February.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Like yeah. Everything shut down.
It was like right before.
1 or 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Because I remember flying back on the plane and getting on the plane, and the lady next to me was like wiping down her seats with like alcohol wipes. And I was like, oh, you're taking this seriously. She's like, do you want some? I said, sure. But I was thinking, man, she's really overreacting to this thing, I think.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, I was trapped in my house.
Crazy.
It's crazy that I didn't get COVID until January of this year, especially considering that in that month leading up to it, when it was wildly rampant around the country, like we went to Disney World and did that VIP tour.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then right before Mickey and Minnie's opened, we went. And we went to Disney World. I went to Disneyland. I flew back and forth across the country. Miracle I didn't get us.
Yeah. It's like every time we went to Disney World during COVID, they had a huge spike right when we went.
And remember when I did the cruise during COVID, it was like the day before the CDC came out and said, avoid cruises. There's a spike. Don't go on cruises. And I went on the cruise.
Just like playing with danger. Yeah.
Well, I felt safe on that cruise.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That's that New Year's cruise.
Right. Do you remember that?
Anyways, so that's what I have planned. I'm very excited about the Walt's Main Street story, though. That is it. I'm already excited that I prepaid for Genie Plus, too, because I've been seeing that the price I paid, I think, is only 20 or 25 a day per person. I think it was 25 a day per person. Today it was 30 per person I bought it individually. So I like that you can just bundle cheaper. That in.
Yeah, a little sidetrack here, but we were talking about how we wish once they allow you to prepay as an annual pass holder, it would be a really cool add-on to have like a bundle of 20 or X amount of Genie Plus days that you could buy in bulk versus... Because you could get them at a discounted price or whatever versus
you may
having
say
to buy them.
I'm a dreamer.
Well, again, I'm just saying if they want to make money. Because as we talked about, we didn't talk about this on the show, but if you bought a bundle of 20, say, that means you got to go 20 days before your pass expires. That means you'll be there and you'll be spending money buying food and whatever. Because you want to use up those 20 days you bought. So,
and if you don't, then that's just money they got free.
Right.
They just took
your money for buying a bundle. 20 seems like a lot. It's probably more like 10 would probably be more at a time or something. But
yeah,
again, Bob, if you're listening, great ideas.
These are not the ideas he listens to.
No, apparently not.
These are not the ideas you listen to.
He's just selling off the company, right?
Fine. Cool.
So when I get back, I'll give a full report of my first really real Disneyland trip. I call the other one like a teaser trip almost. I'm excited to do the real trip and maybe I'll record live or something. I don't know. We'll see. The things that were not open when I went last time I did get to do the monorail and Mr. Toad's. So I was able to do that.
At least you got that.
But I did not get to do Haunted Mansion because it was still in its closer state for like it was
switching back to normal from.
Right. So I will get to do the Haunted Mansion, thankfully.
Yes. And as the movie comes out.
Yeah. It's soaring around the world. It's soaring over California, which is.
Right. That would be cool to get to do that.
Oh, it's not. It's not soaring over California?
No.
Or it is.
They only do that very limited now, right?
Yeah.
But.
And yeah, the movie comes out on Friday. I mean, it'll be out when we release this. The movie comes out. It's so far not getting great critics reviews.
Yeah.
I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, the critic score is pretty low. It's like 46% currently.
I mean, I'm going to go see it. I think I can mention this.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
I think I've mentioned this on the show. My son's really good friends with someone who works in the movie business, and he did the sets for the movie. So I'm really excited to go.
Yeah, I want to see that, actually.
Like, this is like going to be the first movie where I may not pay that much attention to
the plot or
what's
anything.
Happening. I'm going to be like looking at the sets.
The
like,
background.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I started having a bad feeling about it when I saw who was in it. That's when I started having a bad feeling about
who?
It.
Who did you know? Like,
one in particular that just seemed like it fit with this that would do well was Owen Wilson. I just don't see him doing well in this type of film.
Honestly, the cast doesn't seem like the problem to me. I don't know. Like, I thought the Danny DeVito would be a good addition.
I don't get Danny DeVito in this either, really. But
Tiffany Haddish.
Well, the thing
is
if I remember correctly, there was a lot of articles about how they were trying to figure out who was going to be the Hatbox Ghost, and that's Jared Leto. But I remember they were struggling with that.
Oh, really?
Because that was all voiceover work.
Jared Leto,
right?
Really?
Yeah.
I also remember, you know, Tiffany Haddish is like the lead, but I don't know if you remember when they were shooting this movie, she was down here in Atlanta and she got like the DUI and stuff. So
yeah, they had to stop production, I think, for a little while there.
Yeah.
I do remember that. They kind of, that got buried in the news pretty quickly though. She's got a good publicist, I guess. Cause that got
buried. Well, we just brought it back up. So they're probably going to call us.
Maybe.
Oops.
Yeah.
At the time of recording, the tomato meter, whichever you would like to say, puts Haunted Mansion from a critic's review, no audience score yet, because we are recording this before it comes out, 47%.
Oh, it went up a percent from earlier.
And 89 reviews.
It only has to get to 50 to be fresh, right?
I guess.
Or 51, I think. 50 or 51. So it's close. We'll see if it can, you know, revive
it. I'm curious, what is the current score for
the original,
the other one? Yes,
the 2002 one. I bet it's lower.
14%.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was pretty bad. I want to see it, like what you said. I want to see the sets because of the connection we have there, and the trailer already, the sets look really good.
Yeah,
so I was like, this is going to be, it's a good looking movie, and it does look a lot like The Ride, so I think it'll be good.
I'm going to go see it for sure.
I'm going to give it a chance.
You're going to see it too, John?
I don't know if I'm going to go see it, but there's a possibility.
Neither of you have seen Indy yet, have you?
No.
I saw Oppenheimer in 70mm, though.
Oh, did you? What was your opinion of that one?
I mean, obviously, it's a very long movie.
That's what I keep hearing.
I reflect on it. It was good. You know, I think coming out of it, it's a lot. Now, the only thing I will say is I saw it in 70mm, and because I bought tickets late, I was in the second row. So it was large.
So you were in the blast zone, essentially.
Yeah.
You were under the tower.
Yeah.
Don't tell me how it ends.
There was one movie I went to see in which I had to sit really close as well. It was actually Dark Knight. Way back when, that I had to sit really close in that one.
I would go see Oppenheimer again, though, actually. I kind of want to see it, another one, just if I could get another 70mm and sit in the middle. I don't know. It was an experience.
Yeah. Everybody I've talked to who's seen it so far is kind of like, they'll say, it's good, but it should have been shorter. It's basically what they were saying.
I mean, I don't want to give too much of Indiana Jones away if you guys can see it, but that movie should have been about half an hour shorter.
Yeah.
It was 2.5 hours. Yeah, it should have been cut down to about 2. But anyway, I won't say any more about it. Mission Impossible, though, was another 2-hour-and-43-minute movie or something like that, and every second was great, so...
Right, I think that's like that the... Like, I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming it's the exact opposite of Oppenheimer, where Oppenheimer is drama and building and suspense and tension and, like, uncomfortableness, whereas Mission Impossible is, like, nonstop action stunts, Tom Cruise, say to the movies.
Kind of, yeah. But, I mean, there is a lot of suspense. I forgot how... It's been, what, 5 years since the last Mission Impossible movie? And I forgot how good they were at building suspense too. Like they do have, but it's like the world is depending on every second that you're, you know, until like the last, you know.
So it always is the last second. I watched a YouTube video. It's good. I was in a rabbit hole the other day watching YouTube videos, and it was about the original Mission Impossible. And I never realized this. One of the things they talked about is how good that movie was, even though there was never, the main character never fired a weapon.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. True. Like, there was like basically no guns, very thematic. It was a very interesting movie to like, I never realized that it was.
Yeah.
And very then, different kind of tension.
Right. And then Mission Impossible 2 was like the complete opposite. It was a John Woo. Like everything slow motion, kicks and fights and stunts. Everything. It was like
long-haired Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything slow motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Complete opposite of the first movie. It got much better after the third one was pretty good. Anyway.
What year was the first one?
96, 7?
It was 99, we say.
No, it was before that. That was like the second one.
Yeah. Like, that was like the second one.
2001 was the second one.
Are you sure?
I think it was
01. 96. 96 for the first, 2000 for number two.
Oh, 2000. Okay. I thought it was 01, maybe.
Well, yeah.
2000
Mission
for this.
Three was 06.
They're spread out, is what I was trying to get at.
Ghost Protocol was 11. That was a really good one. That was
Rogue Nation
really
was 2015.
That's a really good one, too.
Fallout was 2018.
Yeah.
And then this was 2023.
I still think the newest one is probably the best one I've seen. But anyway.
Let's go and see how little Tom Cruise has changed in between.
I know. It's amazing. He's like 61 now, and he looks like he's 45 still. He's incredible.
Oh, he looks like me almost.
And again, I know this is not a this is not Disney, whatever, but Top Gun Maverick really saved the movie industry. I think 10 years from now, we're going to talk about Top Gun Maverick and how it turned everything around.
Corner.
It really did. I mean, it got me interested in movies again, and this year, there's a lot of good movies that I want to go see in a theater. So, which is good news. Yeah.
All right, back to Disney news.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say, not all of them are Disney, however. Although, I think I do want to go see Haunted Mansion, so I think I will go see it.
I probably won't see it while I'm out there, so when I get back, maybe we can go see it.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go do it together.
And we will be right back.
Teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her own car? Mowing lawns and getting paid. She'll go from washing your car to flexing with her own. How? With Greenlight, the money app for families. Together, you can navigate the world of earning, saving, and investing. Because when you teach her to be smart about money, she'll go far. Invest in your best investment. Sign up today at greenlight.com.
This episode is also sponsored by Zencastr. We use Zencastr for traveling with a mouse, and we really enjoy how easy and user-friendly it is. You can record up to 4K video and high-quality audio, and they have backups, so you never have to worry about losing any of your audio. Go to Zencastr.com and use the promo code TWTM, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience we do for all of our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story with Zencastr.
And now, back to the show. Here's something I wanted to bring up. It was rated by, hold on, let me see, who was it that said this? A-Lot Travel, okay? A-Lot Travel, however you want to say it, is a travel website that wrote an article of the ugliest building in every state. Okay. It came out recently.
Oh,
and they talked about every single state and what was the ugliest building. And they named the Contemporary Resort as the ugliest building in Florida.
Come on.
I don't know what all the contenders are.
Just driving to Disney World
from Georgia, I've seen like 1,000 horrible looking buildings on the way. But anyway,
and they, sure. I think they said it was in the top 25 ugliest buildings in the country.
I don't see that. That's not even the ugliest building on Disney property. I mean,
yeah, that's the Swan and Dolphin.
If they're saying building, I mean, what about the big blue building that is Guardians? I mean, that's
what about like an old McDonald's that hasn't been rebuilt? Like,
I was just saying on Disney World property. I was like, is it truly even the uglier than Swan, whatever it is? Not Swan.
Swan Dolphin, Swan Reserve. Dolphin.
The Reserve, yeah. Is it uglier than the Reserve?
I was going to say, let's make a list right now of buildings on Disney property that are uglier than the Contemporary.
Galaxy's Edge.
Dolphin, oh. Swan. Swan Reserve. Swan Reserve is on that list, even though it's a brand new building.
Yep.
What else?
The Poly Tower.
Yeah, well, the current, right, current state.
Current state, yes.
Reflections. Oh. The one pylon in the ground of Reflections that's sitting there. The backside of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Star Cruiser building.
Does that count as a building?
Yeah, Star Cruiser building. Star Cruiser building.
That's got to be on there.
All right, let me read what they wrote. Anyway. Can I read it to you? Let's read their review. Sure.
This is ridiculous.
This is their commentary on Florida, and they put the Contemporary Resort at Disney World. They say, Disney World is usually spot on when it comes to designing things, but what in the world were they thinking when they created the iconic and ugly Contemporary Resort? It looks like a futuristic Aztec pyramid, which is not something you would normally associate with Mickey Mouse. Although it's not much to look at, the Contemporary Resort is one of Disney's most beloved places to stay. It's been around since day one of Disney World, opening on October 1st, 1971. In addition to being one of the ugliest buildings, it's also one of the loudest, since a monorail runs right through the middle of it.
Oh my goodness.
Have you been? Oh my gosh.
It's really not that loud.
Chef Mickey's is louder. Oh my God.
The picture they use doesn't even have Bay Lake Tower in the background.
They make it sound like the train goes through there.
Like you said, like the railroad. Train.
Right.
That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Okay, so they succeeded in outraging the Disney fans and getting attention to this article because that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's the loudest because the monorail goes through there. You don't even hear the monorail.
Well,
there's
times
where I'm eating.
I'm not gonna go that far, but it's not
loud. You can
loud.
Barely hear the monorail going through there.
I guess my point is a monorail is not an annoying noise.
Golly. So someone wrote on Twitter, it sounds like an air conditioner. All right, so we all live in Georgia, right? So you know which state? What would you think they picked for our home state of Georgia? It's the ugliest building.
Mercedes-Benz.
That is what they picked. They picked
really?
The Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yes, and I think it's an
I gotta
awesome
be honest,
building.
It's different,
it's
but
unique,
as like I said, I got to be honest.
Ugly.
I thought of that. Because I can't remember when it was being built. Was it? It looked like it was crushed up or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of.
It looks
like
a camera shutter.
It's different. I don't mind it, but I could see where somebody would pick it. Is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's got the sphincter that opens on top. That lets
it also looks like a faucet handle or something, like a funky faucet handle.
Anyways, that's what they chose for Georgia.
Okay, these people are clearly just out to outrage people.
Oh my gosh, they're into outrage. Okay, I'm originally from North Carolina. We've been to Asheville before. Everybody here's been to Asheville. They chose for North
Carolina
the Biltmore Estate as the
That is just crazy.
Okay,
what would you choose, Jason? Can you think of another building in North Carolina?
There's a million buildings that are uglier than the Biltmore.
I think what they're picking is they're picking famous.
Right.
Buildings
right.
that are considered to be not that attractive.
Because who would look at an article of a building that is ugly?
Like just a random shack or
some random building.
Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty that are
this abandoned ugly. Hotel
they mean,
on I-4.
Right. They mean right. among the notable.
Right.
I'm just curious, what do they pick for Alabama since they're...
All right.
I was just trying to think of something that would stand out.
It's probably something in Birmingham, the Vulcan or something, but it's not a building.
That's not a
Government
building.
Plaza in Mobile.
Okay. That I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I was curious. What about California? Trying to think.
KFC in Los Angeles.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, so there goes my theory about the famous buildings.
Okay. So that's probably not even the ugliest KFC in America, because the one in Georgia, the Big Chicken, if you Google the Big Chicken for those who don't live in Georgia, it's a KFC that's shaped like a giant chicken.
They probably got a lot of clicks by just, Now we've talked about it for a good 10 minutes.
I know, right? Because I'm just like so.
Okay, I got one more I'm really curious about right now. What do they say for New York?
Yeah, I was going to say, is it One World Trade, the new World Trade Center tower?
And do they pick anything for D.C.?
The White House? Let me see.
The Lincoln Memorial? I don't know. What do they think?
432 Park Avenue, tallest residential buildings in the world.
Okay.
Oh, is it one of those giant, tiny, super tall towers by Central Park? Those are kind of ugly. Because they're like they're like tiny skyscrapers.
So I was just curious if they included D.C. That was the last thing I was curious about.
It does not look like they put D.C. in there.
I was going to say, because it's not really a state, it's a district.
Like, if you really did the ugliest building in every state, it would be like a Taco Bell in like some rural area or something.
I don't know.
The Dollar General. Anyway. At the,
it was really weird whenever I pulled it up and it was like one of y'all's houses.
Right. They're just going after, especially the Disney one, like, come on. I can't get over the, and it's so loud because a monorail drives through it.
Like, yeah, like you said, clickbait. Really,
they offended you there.
Oh, that really got me going.
You know, have you noticed that most articles, even by supposedly otherwise respected sites, are really major on clickbait now?
How they make money, I guess.
Getting you to click, they get that ad revenue.
But still, it's just annoying.
Because they have like 400 ads on a page. Every article is like 700 ads.
I'll tell you one site that I have not like even bothered following for their clickbait anymore ever is Inside the Magic.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, don't go there. They're the worst.
It's like the worst clickbait ever.
Yeah, they are.
Anyways, so I also sent this to y'all. Do you guys think I should take advantage? There's a new, almost irresistible discount that Disney has released. But I am the only one here that can take advantage of it, as I am the only Disney Vacation Club member currently. So it's for DVC members only. It's a 20% discount on Walt Disney World VIP tours. You have to wait until August 15th to book these, so I have a little bit of time to decide. And it's for valid VIP tours on select dates from August 15th through September the 30th, subject to blockout dates, September the 2nd through the 4th.
Labor Day.
A 20% off for a VIP tour. I mean, how could you resist that, really?
I mean, that sounds good. I think you should do it as long as you take me with you.
As long as you get to be invited?
Like I say, when you say it's for DVC members only, does that mean he can go or no?
Well, yeah, you can have 10 people.
You just
can have non-DVC?
The DVC member book.
Yeah, it says the offer is only available to eligible Disney Vacation Club members. Eligible days Disney Vacation Club member must pay for the tour and be on the tour.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Okay, why do they have a problem with a DVC member booking it and someone else paying? Why does that matter?
Well, because then I could sell it for a markup, right?
I guess that's what they mean.
Okay. Right, because they could book it.
Why do they care who pays for it?
Yeah, because you'd be like on this, like, anybody want a VIP tour? I'll give you a 10% discount.
10% discount off of a VIP tour, yeah.
Which is significant. What do you think the rates are per day in September? They've got to be on the lower side, I would think, instead of the 800 a day.
Yeah, I mean, what's the lowest it can get?
Nowadays, I don't know.
Didn't you say it was 450?
I think that's the lowest. It goes up to 900, I said. Yeah, 450 to 900. So, and you have to do a minimum of 7 hours. So let's say we did that. That's 3150 is the base price. So if we paid 80% of that times 0.8.
2500.
Yeah, 2520.
Plus tip, right? You got a tip.
Plus tip. So you tip that with what? Tip a 20% tip. So you're looking at $3,000. Or what's essentially, if you take up to 10 people, up to $300 a person for a 7-hour VIP tour. Twice that price on the busy days when it's $900 a person. So it's $6,000 a busy day.
So 300, I mean, if you got 10 people to go with you and you charge them $300 a person, for the day. I mean, for a 7-hour day.
Yeah,
I made quite a bit of money off that.
Wheels turning.
Charge them $350 per person.
So you're saying you're willing to pay $350 per person on your family to go on the VIP tour?
I mean, I should get the family rate for coming up with the idea,
and you should charge everybody else.
He's saying you should charge everybody else, and he should get a cut for coming up with the idea.
Gotcha. I should get a cut of that.
Right.
It's almost like the sporks all over again.
I kind of want one of those now. We never got one.
Just go now, Adam says all this, but he has already benefited and gone on a VIP tour with me. So
I did. We did tip the. Homer.
Yeah, I had you pay the tip.
We paid the tip, just the tip.
I feel like that was a very fair deal. You got off well with a pretty easy time there.
Yeah. No, it was totally worth it. Yeah.
Does the VIP tour include lounges?
What lounges do you need?
I would just say, it's like, do you get a back door to La Cava?
I was about to say, if it was just me and you doing the, okay, we're just going to La Cava and 6 hours later, I guess we should do a ride. Take us on test track or something.
Just curious. Make the VIP tour guide sit there and drink with us. I was talking to Homer when we were on there, and I was like, what's the weirdest stuff you've ever had do? He's like, well, you know, Club 33 gets a few every year, so they would just like hire them to stand at Disney Springs and hold their shopping bags while they shopped.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, you basically get a helper, I guess. I would feel weird doing that, though.
It's almost like you have your own chauffeur.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you do have your own chauffeur for a while.
Can the VIP tour get you on the...
Aerofile?
Yeah, Aerofile for free.
No, you probably still have to pay for that.
Such like, pay. I'm paying $800 an hour. I can't get on the.
What if you booked the amphibious boats tour and then was right. Like, we're going to the Cirque du Soleil show.
So sit with us. You're paying someone to sit next to you in the crowd. Like, come sit with our family.
So somebody could technically go on one of these VIP tours and basically, like, if they were by themselves and did a VIP tour. They just have the tour guide be there. Like, they're paying to have a friend for the day, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. Could do that.
Could do whatever
you
want to do.
A friend in me. I mean, you could pay them to sing that to you.
Yeah, aren't they allowed to ride with the guests again? I know when we did it during COVID, they weren't allowed to ride, but yeah. I think they are.
I've seen a few riding rides, and I've seen some not, so I don't know if it's their choice or what, but I have seen some.
The family's choice, probably.
Probably, yeah. But I've seen a few riding, and I've seen some waiting at the exit. So that's cool. Would you want to get Homer again, or would you want to try and get somebody new?
I would. Can you request? I mean,
yes, you can. He gave us his card. You can call up and request. Like, they have regulars that book them.
Yeah, and I get that.
I would imagine those particular people are quite well off if they have regulars.
Right. I mean, yeah, I was walking behind a lady pulling into Riviera a few trips back, and she had a backpack on that had a couple of Club 33 pins, a couple of VIP tour pins on her backpack, just walking into the Riviera. I can't remember I think it's like 3 or 4 VIP tours that are included per year with Club 33, too. So, like, once you're Club 33, you're going to do a few a year.
Hmm. And I'm trying to think, if you wanted to go to La Cava, would they get you through the line if you told them ahead of time? Or like...
Probably.
Because if you tell them you want to eat somewhere, don't they just like get us a table?
Well, they can't make it necessarily, but they have ways of figuring it out for
you. They'll find a way. They'll get you.
But I did not let us stop to eat on my VIP tour.
We didn't eat at all. Yeah. Until after. Yeah. We maximized ride time.
That was the goal. What other articles or news did y'all see? Because that was my list.
Well, those are good ones.
Again, we didn't really have a ton, right? So I think we've almost used our allotted time. Like, we haven't a lot of time.
Yeah.
Well,
if that's all we have this week, I'm just going to go pack for Disneyland. I'll see you guys on X. I'll be Xing my trip on the X platform.
Yes. So... Everybody who has X, be on it and look for the hashtag TWTM on X. I don't know.
I don't know.
Jason on X.
Yeah, Jason on X.
Jason X.
Yeah.
Disneyland on X.
X marks the spot.
Of course, we're referring to Twitter being
What's
rebranded.
Twitter? I've never heard about Twitter before.
Used to be called Twitter.
The artist formerly known as Twitter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Elon's latest, midnight whim, I have this domain that I bought in 1997, so let me use it. Gonna move Twitter all to it.
Yeah.
Because if you go to x.com, it redirects, right? That's what I
right.
heard.
I don't know if you saw this, but he got people to try to take the Twitter sign down, but he didn't get permits, so the police shut him down halfway through, and there's just the ER left or whatever they had to do.
Or maybe it's hopefully they won't mistake it for an actual ER.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyways, check me out on X. If you would like to find us on X, though, where would you go?
Well, I mean, we have, should I say X or should I say Twitter?
X Twitter. Facebook.
We have Facebook, Twitter, or X, whichever it's going to be by the time this show is released. Instagram. I'm losing my
Do we have Threads yet? Are we on Threads yet?
I don't even know anything about Threads so far, so I lost my train of thought. Oh, Spreadshirt Store. I'll do that first. Mm-hmm. Spreadshirt Store, in which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. A YouTube channel that we also have. The Tron Ride video actually gained a little bit of traction, so I'm going to try to do another on-ride video here that I had that worked out pretty good here very shortly. Where else can they find this, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want some assistance in your next Disney travel vacation, you can reach our travel agent friend. Her info is also on our website.
So, and also don't forget to book Tipsy Tours for your next trip.
Yeah.
So, for John, Adam, this is Jason. This has been Traveling with the Mouse. We hope you'll join us. Your next trip.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.